So for anybody who wasn't in on that conversation, I encourage people to read My Religion by Leo Tolstoy. So, because I want a book club discussion. So if you want something, you just drag everybody down. Right?
I feel like I just stuck my finger in a light socket after reading. I haven't even, you know, just reading a little bit of it. And it's reminded me of when I first came to the monastery, I knew the truth was being spoken here. And I don't know how I knew that, but it's like, okay, you got to just keep going back there because these folks know what's going on, you know. I just, you know, I've been...
You do not speak with forked tongues.
I just, you know, I've been to a lot of places. And, you know, I just like, whoa, this is, I know this is so. And so when I was reading that, I had that same kind of like, wow.
This guy's on to something.
This guy's on to something. And there's so much about it, but one of the things is increased appreciation for the privileged environment. Because obviously, here was a person who was awake, had really good things give people. He didn't have the privileged environment. And as soon as he was no longer here, wow, just to look at what conditioned mind can do to something that's so, you know, good.
Mm-hmm. And now you're not talking about Tolstoy at this point, you're talking about Jesus.
Jesus, yeah. I know Bartok Tolstoy did too, maybe, but yeah, it's just that, you know, all those teachings that he brought. And then how they got tweaked, it seems, over.
Yes. Well, that's what I love so much about it. Forever, ever since I fell in love with religion, mm-hmm. I wished that I could speak the original language. Mm-hmm. So they could go right back to, mm-hmm. you know, what is as close as you can get. I mean, if you got something like the Buddha, then you have 500 years of people going, well, what I heard him say was. You know, and we kid about that, but we couldn't all sit here and talk, leave the room, and tomorrow morning it would be, you know, the telephone game. So that's iffy. But you can sort of go to that sense of, well, he probably said that. Mm-hmm. You know, that he probably said that, but with this, you got people who are pretty close to the scene.
Yeah, yeah.
And Tolstoy could do the reading for himself.
Mm-hmm. Exactly. That was the thing that's so, I mean, mm-hmm. what is, yeah, what's needed for all of us is to, you know, I mean, he took it in, he explored it, he made it his own, he looked, he...
Well, and the thing that fascinated me about it is that he, at least what I got from... Now, because of what I had read before of his writings, mm-hmm. I knew he'd had an awakening experience yeah. because he described somebody having one. Mm-hmm. And it's really hard to do that if you haven't done it. But he had an awakening with what Jesus was teaching.
Yeah.
Right?
Yeah.
That. Mm. Oh!
Yeah.
That's what he's saying.
Yeah. Yeah.
That to me was the part that was most exciting is, and then to be in his excitement and his exploration of what that was, of what he saw.
Yeah.
Now, anybody who hasn't read it or hasn't read it lately, you're going to be pumped.
Yeah.
You want to be in
all that. I just feel that excitement, you know, just with you. Yeah, it's incredible. It's a gift. It's amazing that, well, it's not amazing, but I never heard of it before, you know.
Mm-hmm.
And it's just a profound book. That
one of the things that personally that I chuckled about, so those of you who know me know that when I'm called to jury duty, I tell them that I'm happy to serve, but I won't find anybody guilty. And the last time I did that, I literally had to walk in, you know, by myself, stand in front of the judge, and say, you know, what? Why are you? Well, Your Honor. And I told him, and he was not excited about it. I mean, he was, you know, he was civil about it, but he was clearly not happy. And then when I got to the part, I don't know if anybody else is there yet, but where he talks about taking oaths and what Jesus taught about taking oaths. And I thought, and there you are, you're in a trial, and you're going to put your hand on the book and swear an oath with the person in that book saying, don't swear an oath.
So
good.
So good. I mean, I know the death of Jesus, you know how it's described? I mean, I never really took it in. I mean, there was complete acceptance, you know, blessing the people that were, I mean, there was like no revenge, no anger, no, and then there's just that model of that, and then it could be turned around as an excuse to, that religion could be turned as an excuse to make war, to, you know, all of this violence, it's just so much about it.
Well, that book, so I had about 6 years ago, I was in a half-price bookstore in Austin, and I came across it, and I bought it, and I had never read it, it's been sitting on my shelf, and then I moved here, and so then it's been sitting in a box, and just a couple of weeks ago, I went through and cleaned out a bunch of stuff in the office and put that book on the shelf, and then lo and behold, if you don't say read it. It was just such a so I'm excited to read it. Very excited to get in, you know, listen to it and read it. But the workshop going on that I want to look at real quick is the email class on communication for people, anyone who may not be hip to that. And I just saw the response to my second submission, and I had the most, uplifted, relieved, happy, awakened experience, just in reading that. And so I was looking at the page, and it was like there are just these little, you know, 150 words that were so life-changing. Merged with all the other words, and you know, it was just as if I got a glimpse into the karma that I had never been able to really penetrate, or I don't know, that's not it. It wasn't that, but I felt like I just had a hand lifting me up saying, here's what you can do, here's how you can work with it, that I had just never seen before. I'd seen the karma, but I had never seeing how to really work with it. It was so wonderful. Yeah.
Good. I don't remember what it was.
Of course.
But
oh, I thought you were going to say.
Okay. No, I mean, but I'm glad.
Yeah. Yeah, thank you. Thank you.
And we don't need to tell them which one is yours.
No. I just really wanted to express that. Just that huge gratitude and excitement and
kind of one of those can't wait to practice with.
Exactly. That's exact. Every, you know, I read it right before the sit, and every few breaths or whatever through the sit, there would be, who could be? You know, it's just that empty kind of thing about something that had been anything but oh goody.
Right. Yeah. So often those deep old karmic places do not turn into oh goody places for people.
Yeah.
Well, I was at June's house recently, and she had something from the email class. Can you remember what it says? I loved it. I didn't remember it either.
It says, it's so messy. If I talk through it, maybe I need it exactly. But it was a response to someone who was talking about...
I know what it said.
Yeah.
Let me, help me out here. Don't be in a hurry to get over it. Be excited about getting
to it. Eager to get on
with it. Be eager to get on with it.
Oh, that's perfect.
Yeah, which I think is
that's
what you're describing.
Perfect.
Yeah.
Be eager to get on with it.
Mm-hmm. And that's exactly the opposite of what we're taught to do, right?
Oh,
it's like,
yeah.
Huh, I just want to get through with this. I just want it.
Well,
just to be over.
That's what the phrase, thank God that's over, was born to.
Right. Yeah.
Yes. Mm-hmm. And it's so, there was something, oh, and like we are talking about in other, you know, ways, I'm seeing that exact karma in like three or four other places at this moment.
Wow.
Yeah. I mean, it's so amazing, the synchronicity of it all.
Well, you're the one who pulled the box out and took the book out of the box and put it on your shelf right there. So I don't think you need to be surprised by
something.
And the point behind that is, if we don't realize we are being divinely guided, we're really not paying attention.
Thank you for that. Because I was hunting for my recorder because I'm having that exact same experience, that insight, and I wanted to get it, you know. And that is like, wow. If this isn't, you know, a while back we were talking about being sought
mm-hmm.
and the hound of heaven and all of that kind of stuff. Boy, if this isn't, you know, evidence and an experience of that, I don't know what, you know,
mm-hmm.
that Rumi poem, comes to mind, it's come to mind like three or four times today. Your day, if you had any self, you know, what's the word? I think it might be self-control or something like self-denial. Your daily bread would throw itself on you like lovers do. Why, same poem where he mentions when the rug is being beaten, it's not against the rug, it's the dust in the rug.
Yeah,
you know?
Yeah, it's not because the dust did something wrong.
Yeah, or the rug did something wrong, it's because it got the dust out, not about you.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. And so it's just all of that, all of those images about, I'm here, I'm this is for you, honey, this is for you. You
mm-hmm.
And to be able to take it in and see it. It's
yeah.
Just, yeah.
All for your awakening.
All everything. Yeah. So thank you so
mm-hmm.
much.
Well, I just wanted to express profound gratitude to the community for
feeding you.
Oh my gosh. There would be an award
there. Yeah, hungry and we feed them. There's the tired and we let them sleep.
Yeah, I can't imagine anywhere else. I mean, this has got to be a once in a lifetime kind of opportunity.
Well, yeah, we hope so, huh?
Yeah.
Talk about it. Let's get that behind us and then really look back on it with great gratitude.
Yeah, just that place I can't imagine any other place where there would be the support and just no interference to just be with whatever my experience is, mm-hmm. and including having meals served to me for like 3 weeks, you know?
Mm-hmm.
But I was just, anyway, so thank you, everybody. And I was just looking at some questions that you had asked me. I had mentioned in coaching that it felt like there was all this, I had to really, really be here for the call, because if the attention wavered or the awareness felt like it started to collapse, it felt like there was a bunch of physical consequences to that that would interfere with the call. And you asked a bunch of questions, basically like questioning, assuming what's going on. And I was just paying attention in group. And I just had a ton of fatigue that just doesn't go away. And there's a lot of sensation in the body. And I'm just noticing like prickly, like kind of cold prickly on the outside of my body, especially the upper body. And then I noticed that, and then immediately is something like, you know what that means. There's a referencing
uh-huh.
ego about that. And then I notice, like, it's almost like it feels like when I first looked in the room, it was almost like a lens that's kind of fuzzy around the end. And then it's just kind of like, well, yeah, you're not better yet. It's sort of like, this is what this means, this is what you are. And then I was like, well, what if I really expanded the awareness? Could I get a full lighted picture in the room? But I just realized how much, I mean, I've been aware, but just now aware how much it's talking about what's going on with me.
Uh-huh.
And how...
And looking, right? Looking for evidence.
And looking for evidence.
So that it can say, well, you know what that means.
Yeah, exactly.
And actually... No, I don't.
I don't.
But I think I'm supposed to think it's bad?
Yeah. Well, and I'm just looking at, gosh, if that's going on pretty regularly, I mean, one, what an energy drain,
uh-huh.
You know, and what a block.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, that's what's still kind of in this, what's locked up here that's not allowing this to
mm-hmm.
pass on through.
So I, in text communication with somebody who is... working on excitement,
uh-huh.
attempting to be excited. That's the assignment. Okay? And so today the confession was, you know, I haven't actually really been that excited. I've been sort of hoping for a possibility of excitement.
Uh-huh.
But of course, the message that comes through to me is, well, I'm excited about the trees that are in bloom, you know, this kind of look. And I said, you know, that's okay, because every time you look for excitement, it's there.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, exactly.
And so you keep looking and you keep finding it and you keep recognizing it. And then pretty soon you're in the, oh, it seems to be everywhere. Mm-hmm. And then before you know it, you're actually feeling excited, because
mm-hmm.
essentially you've talked yourself into it.
Mm-hmm.
So if we're listening to something that's going, well, you know what that means,
mm-hmm.
and you know that means it's not good, then
yeah, that'll be a life experience.
That's going to be your life experience.
Yeah, it's so fascinating. I mean, just. Yeah, because this has gone in no way, in any other way that I've ever been sick, and it's just been totally confounding. You know, ego can't make sense of it, it can't organize it, it can't put it into any framework.
And can't even make it your fault.
It can't even make it my fault.
Yeah.
Well, yeah, it tries.
Yeah.
Yeah. On a regular basis,
mm-hmm.
talking to the
mm-hmm.
victim. Yeah.
Mm-hmm. But my point, of course, is that it's being thwarted. Right? So that's a huge... I talk to a lot of people who are sick. Yeah? Because a lot of people are sick right now. And so I talk to them. Because people like to talk about what's going on. And when they're sick, they like to talk about that. And the constant of, I'm sick, and I'm in self-hate about being sick.
Mm-hmm.
And so I start through my routine about, well, don't do that. Right? Because that's only going to make you sicker, because
exactly.
It's not uplifting.
Nope.
Self-hate is not uplifting. It's not good for the immune system.
It's
so
damaging.
It's damaging, and so don't do that. But that combination is almost constant.
Yeah.
You're sick. It's your fault. What have you done wrong? Now what's going to happen? Oh, even worse. Did you feel that? Look at that. Look at that. There it is. You felt it, didn't you?
On the other side of that, the thing that just happened to me before snack was I texted my health report and he was asking me all those questions, and the way it came in was like one of those, you know, like a Zen slap. I don't know why, but it just came in, like kind of woke me up. And then like right after that, I got included in the community's process texting, and then it was like, and then entered on a group, and I felt how that affected me. It was like, you're getting better.
Yes.
Things are fine.
Yes.
And it was a literal, I watched, because it's like I could feel the anxiety, because it seems like every time I try to do something, there's just a collapse.
Mm-hmm.
And then it feels like I get these relapses. And so even going in to eat and then maybe cleaning up is like, I could feel that.
Mm-hmm.
But that momentum, it busted through, I think, what I was describing earlier,
mm-hmm.
got the momentum going the other way.
Mm-hmm.
And I felt good all the way through. And then at the end, because it seemed like cleaning up to somebody was taking a long time, and that worry started to come in again. You're going to get tired. You're going to get tired. This is, you're going to another step back. You can't do it. You're going to
the community. You got to go to the group.
And then I got identified with that, and I could feel like getting angry. Like, I'm going to get sick of this development. You know, it's just like a normal cleanup, you know.
Yeah. And it can't be their fault.
It's not what's going on.
Yeah, right.
Okay, if you clean it faster, I wouldn't have to get angry and get sick.
Yeah, well, they were sort of like blaming me, you shouldn't be in here, that kind of thing. And then, and things ended, the bell rang, and then someone made gosho, I think to me, I took it as me, and it just, highlighted out what was going on, cut through it enough that I had to go into the dorm because I just burst into tears. Mm-hmm. Because there was just like, you're a part of us. Mm-hmm. Welcome back. Or I don't know. I mean, that's how I took it, mm-hmm. You know, and it highlighted that. Gosh, it's just amazing. And just having, texting you, just having presence around you, running into gashos, people helping you direct the attention to, you know, mm-hmm. We're detectives. Mm-hmm. It's amazing. I don't know how anyone could get deals with being sick or deals with a chronic illness without awareness practice.
I don't either. I don't see how people get up and go into the day.
Yeah, good point.
Because there's just so little support. Mm-hmm. So little.
Yeah.
Thank you. Andrew?
You had previously mentioned how you moved this little Bible bit from don't worry about the words, the words will be delivered to you.
Yes.
If you wouldn't mind, could you talk a little bit about that?
Well, and we have some people who might be, I'll give my best shot at the quote, and then people who might be more familiar than I will clean it up for me. But so it's when the disciples are going out and they're scared because it's a bad political climate. I don't know if anybody has ever experienced that. So they're scared, and they say they're asking Jesus, you know, what do we do? And he says, not to be concerned about it, because when the time comes, what you need will be given to you.
And you kind of the way you talked about it was you would kind of not believe that or didn't buy that or didn't you had something with it, and then now it's more of a reliable tool or an easier, softer way to live by not worrying about what you're going to say. It's just you'll say what you say when it's time to be said.
Well, of course, you know, I wasn't raised Christian, so yeah, I only came to Christianity after Buddhism. So I was not familiar with anything in the New Testament until, you know, after Zen training. So as soon as I read that, I felt like what he was taught. I thought it was very Zen of him, quite frankly. that what he was pointing at, you know, it's the same as the one about the lilies of the field. You know, it's the same message. They're all of this worry about how things go and what you should do and what you need to whatever, and we don't. Because we are completely, perfectly, beautifully lived every moment of every day. And so we never, you know, my big obsession, as people have known, well, I have several big obsessions, I guess. But the one, if I could change one thing, it would be for people to get what this is. For the little person out there in the middle of the room. What this head is. What conditioned mind is, and what it's doing to people, how removed it takes us from life to create this artificial reality in which I have to figure out what I'm going to do and where I'm going to go and what time and how all that's going to work and what I'm going to say. And in the communication email class that we're doing now, one of the constant themes is I can't say anything. I'm afraid to say anything. I can't speak because I don't know what people are going to think. People aren't going to like me. They're going to reject me. They're going to punish me. They're going to, you know, this kind of thing. And what people can't see is that people aren't doing any of that. This is doing that. It's all happening in here. You know, almost never does an adult have somebody come up to them and say, I really need you to shut up because you're stupid and I don't want to hear what you have to say. Okay? It just doesn't happen, right? I mean, if it did, you would know that's a crazy person and I just need to smile and back out of the room, right? But inside here, people are living with that all the time. And it's completely unnecessary because when we're not listening to this, what we need will be given to us. Always. I mean, he was making a true statement, not just for, you know, you people are in a dangerous situation and bad things could happen to you, so what you want to do is not worry, just be open to being guided. You know, God will guide you. Don't worry about it. That was a true statement every moment of everybody's life. Did I speak to what you were asking?
Yeah, I was grappling with something. I had some medical stuff on Tuesday, and when I was looking at it on Wednesday, the thing that came to me was that the answer was in the principle that you're pointing at of not predicting the future of being lived. Mm-hmm. That's the answer, and I was kind of, that cannot be the answer for this particular situation, and it was always coming up that way, that yeah, even with this, that's the answer.
Yes.
And it's kind of, wow, okay. Alright. And it wouldn't budge any of it. It's not supposed to budge. It doesn't budge. It lives. It doesn't worry.
Right.
It does not, it's not in the future.
Right. Well, you know, one of the things that it seems to me we, most of us have completely lost touch with, is that everything about us belongs to life. You know, people could say God or the divine or however people want to talk about it, but every bit of it. And we go along with this story in our heads that makes us think that that's not the case. And so what happens to us is wrong. It's a mistake. It shouldn't be like that. Something else. You know, somebody loses somebody that they love, and they're angry. They're angry with God because it's wrong. It shouldn't be happening. Well, yeah, it should. Because it was never going to be any other way. We just think it's going to be some way, and then we're constantly distressed when it isn't the way we think it's going to be.
So you got cool with that a long time ago.
Yes. Yes, I did. Yeah. I don't know if we've talked about this, but the way it became clear to me was being 18 years old and having my mother killed. You know, it just, it once and for all dispelled all illusions about time and life and death and how things are and how they should be and guarantees and...
Yeah, the closest, somebody was getting to help me out on this on Tuesday, a woman that I know, her husband was murdered and she was shot and she went back to that spot like a day or two later and, she was just kind of standing there, kind of really fairly spaced out, and it just occurred to her, this is big. And when I was explaining what's kind of going on with me, that kind of a story related, that she just got okay with how big it was.
Yeah.
Didn't get angry, we didn't, and, right. And cleaned it up, really. And yeah, I sense that you've done that as well, and that seems to be the calling and the path everybody's got to do with whatever they've got.
Yes.
All of their stuff, that's how they're, that's the way, that's living, that's the,
yes,
the life side of it.
Yes.
Question,
yes,
mark. It's all kind of new to me.
Right. Well, it kind of is to almost everybody, because this this conditioned belief system that is so fostered, you know, the everything from little kids, you know, happily ever after. You're married, right? That's the happily ever after. I'm not suggesting it. Yeah, sure, exactly. And we struggle and we fight and we argue and we make up and we recommit and we fall in love again and then we wonder why we're doing this and then we look at these kids and go, why are we doing this? Right? So we're not encouraged to have a real picture of life. Mm-hmm. You know, one of the ones that I'm most fascinated by is people's belief that life should be easy. Where do you get that? It's crazy. It's crazy. And yet, people deeply believe that that's the case. That you shouldn't have to work hard.
And it gets super easy when it's recognized that it isn't. And then the game is over, that I don't think it should be, and I'm not exempt from all these hard things I have to say.
That's right. And in fact, what's possible for us is to get on the other side of that. Mm-hmm. To realize that that is life. Mm-hmm. You know, to struggle and work at something and be successful at it and learn from it and confront your stuff and to go up against it and overcome it, and that is life.
Yeah, you spoke to it for sure. It's nice to hear that that's not a theory, that some of the room, I imagine, I could project, is full of people that are doing that, or at least see that as a calling to do that. And have a lot of good experience of, I'm going to do that.
Yes, or we're all trying to get as ready as we can get, right? And to me, that's the thing I just wish people would do. You know, let's not pretend it's not going to go this way, because it is going to go this way. And we can enjoy the stew out of it on the way to it. Yeah? So knowing that, you know, we don't wait to love people. We don't wait to be happy. Yeah, we don't wait for that time when it's all going to come together, it's going to be easy, and we don't do that, right? So one of the things that I learned when my mother died is never, never, ever, ever don't let people know how you feel about them. Mm-hmm. You know, you hear that if you have somebody to sleep with, or just somebody you live with, I suppose. Don't ever go to bed angry. Mm-hmm. You know, always resolve everything before you go to bed. Well, always resolve everything all the time. Mm-hmm. So that you can go out like that. Mm-hmm. And you don't have to be out there thinking, I forgot to hope they know I love them. Yes, late. But if we live every moment so that we're ready to go in that moment, that the moments are going to be glorious. Mm-hmm. Yeah. And Andrew doesn't mean it can't be scary as hell.
Yeah, it's been, it's super humbling.
Yeah.
When I face this, all of what you're talking about, loving people and facing stuff, and what's been stripped out of it, which is just like 2 days old now, is this whole framework that was, and now I get to go tell somebody about it. Ain't I something, you know? Woohoo! It's that was stripped out, and that the evidence is, well, it's not like you need evidence. The way you're living, that tells the story louder than you flexing and telling everybody how it's supposed to, you do that, live that. Mm-hmm. And I was blown away that my kids, they seem to have caught on that much earlier than I did. I mean, they seem to know that there's a better practice at it than I am. But I project all of them that they didn't get beguiled. I mean, it's hard. It's hard doing some of the stuff that they do, and I think they know that it's hard. And they've, mm-hmm. Anyway, I can get in the weeds with it. But it's super brand new that, I mean, I can't even fix it. You said it much better than I could, to face my life without any then about it, no THEN about it, is if that's it right now. Mm-hmm. And then that's the message for anybody who wants to see it, most of all for me to just experience it.
Yeah.
I used to think it would mean something. Mm-hmm. And then, and now, and mm-hmm. And that's just from Tuesday about 6 o'clock.
Yeah.
Which ends fine. It's nice to be around the lab projector practitioners that got cool with that as well. And I feel totally strengthened to do that.
Yes.
That seems to be, and I got all the strength for that. Mm-hmm. I don't have a whole lot of the strength for telling everybody about it. Mm-hmm. Like it means something to somebody else. It's just, it doesn't make me better than or profound. It's really super humbling, and which is what, when Jesus walked around, he just seemed to love people no matter what their thought was. Mm-hmm. And he was into it. Just all the way.
Yeah.
Right now.
Yeah.
With the whole thing about the words will be delivered when you need them. Yeah, no worries about that. It's helpful.
You know, the other one, of course, the other very, very famous one that goes along with that is the whole knocking will be open, seeking you'll find, ask and you'll receive. Again, not, in difficult times, but every moment of every day. And I think what you're talking about, what you're looking at in your life right now, that becomes very real. Right?
It's exciting.
Yes.
Very exciting.
Yes, it is.
Yeah. Yeah, it's, I can't articulate it. The words are just kind of totally failing.
Yeah.
And it's nice to hear what you're saying. It just makes a big air of it. Go that way.
Mm-hmm.
No, there's no doubt about, okay, there's no belief like, oh, that's the only way now. It's kind of just keeps unfolding as, yeah, that's it, that's it.
Yes. Well, it's back to the box with the book, you know, because it's that liberal, isn't it? And so go there, do that, say that, talk to those people, listen to that.
Jim, boy, I'm so appreciating the discussion. So what dropped in that last conversation was I was listening recently to my recordings on Shuffle, which I do regularly, and it's that in itself is such an interesting practice that I have a lot of memory on my device, and so there are thousands, literally, of recordings on there. And so something will come up, and like this recording came up that I didn't even remember how it got on there. But it's a...
But it's your voice, so you...
No.
Just, oh, it's not your voice.
No, it's a... I mean, this has everything, you know.
No.
So it's... there's a Best Year Yet process that we've done sometimes, and this is a series that organization put out, and there was a series of like, I don't know, some number of lessons. So, you know, lesson 9, da da da, and I'm like, oh, skip. And I was like, no, I never skip. That's part of the thing. If I'm listening on Shuffle, because I just think that's such an interesting process. In fact, we were looking at a group in Center on Tuesday, because you talked about it on the radio show. Someone was talking about my deepest heart's desire in life leading,
and that subtlety of is that the same thing? But what that led to a discussion at center about just that place where we tend to draw that line of like, you know, I don't want to listen to that.
Uh-huh.
You know? So
that is not like meeting.
Exactly.
I don't want like to lead now. I'm going to lead.
Exactly. So that in itself is an amazing practice to stay with it and to, like, even it happened to me another time recently where the app did something where it started over and I had listened to, I don't know, 5 minutes of a 15-minute recording, and when I went back to listen, it started at the beginning. I'm like, no, okay. This time, I can fast forward. I've heard those 5 minutes, and I was like, no, what? And I heard things in those 5 minutes I hadn't heard when I listened before. So it's just things like that are amazing. Yeah.
Well, it's amazing, and the whole process is amazing, right? Mm-hmm. Because what is that?
Yes.
No, you can fast forward.
Right?
What do you care? What do you care? What do you care what I'm listening to?
Yes.
Where are we going here?
That is everything. I could just give you 5 trillion examples of how that is completely what I'm seeing everywhere. Mm-hmm. But the reason that dropped in that last discussion is that in this thing, lesson 9 of the whatever, one of the things was she wanted you to write your own eulogy. Mm-hmm. And again, it's just like I project, you know, what happens with people when they come to our books, right? Where listening along, listening is great, and then I have to do something? No, I don't want to do it. So press pause.
I get that.
I can imagine. Yeah, okay, good. On we go, right? So again, I'm like, okay, what are we doing here? Who's drawing that line?
Yeah.
Right? So I did it. And you know, just that, there's so much receiving in it. Just that I did it.
Mm-hmm.
Stopped and did it.
Mm-hmm.
Right?
And probably had some good things to say.
Well, the one that dropped in that last discussion was, one of the things I heard in it was, you know, what was so remarkable about this person was that she was dedicating her life to something that wasn't easy for her. That it was not, you know, it's something that not a lot of people, but some people will look at it and say, wow, that's hard to do. A lot of people will just look at it and say, that's crazy, why would you ever want to do that?
Hard or not, this is the point.
But there are some people who would say, wow, I can't imagine doing that. You know, where does that come from? And yet, you know, it's kind of doing it from the perspective of someone who is a friend or that sort of thing. And yet, what was remarkable is it's clear that it wasn't just she made that decision and rode off into the sunset, it's kind of like the happily ever after.
Mm-hmm.
That it was, you know, it just, and she would be the first to tell you that it wasn't anything she was doing that was keeping her in it. It was just something, just have it continue, just mm-hmm. keep going. And so I was hearing that in that just in the discussion tonight of just that. That mystery of what is holding us so divinely, what is leading us in that way, and what a gift to be able to actually experience that.
Mm-hmm. Yes, to move out of the constant struggle with what's trying to stop us.
Yeah. Yeah,
because that's fascinating too.
Yes. Mm-hmm. It relates to that. I'm also really enjoying the email class. Wow. And I just feel like, honestly, I mean, I guess we always say this, but I just could write every single response that people wrote in.
Mm-hmm.
Wow, it's so helpful. But in this one particular response, looking at, it was so right on, it keeps slipping away, but, you know, it works when I'm not there to try to make it work.
Mm-hmm.
And then, of course, immediately, in rides the eyes, it's going to make it work. Mm-hmm. Now that it's working, I'm going to come in to make it work.
Yeah.
Which, of course, isn't.
Because it worked because I wasn't there
exactly
to make anything work.
Yeah. So I was experiencing that
the excitement I was projecting some time earlier in many cases, but just that place of, because I sort of, like for example in facilitation, I really experience I guess life working, you could say, joy, peace, well-being, all of those things that we talk about. And so just that, that feels like one of the biggest cons for me is how to facilitate all, how to, I don't even know.
Well, see now, let me ask you this.
Yes.
Okay. Because one of the things, and I talk about this all the time, I know. But doing something like the email class, or even facilitating group, the thing that I love best about it is, and this is what we were just talking about, Andrew, I'm not here.
Yes, exactly. Yes.
So
I
sit there.
Yes.
Right? And I read what somebody sent in.
Yep. And the fingers.
There go the little fingers. Right?
Yeah.
And the joy of it is being there as that comes through.
Yeah.
I'm not thinking it.
Yeah.
I mean, sometimes I sit there and I laugh, you know, because, oh, that's good. but I'm not confused that I'm doing it. Now, I know that sometimes when I say things like that, people go, oh, we're channeling over here. I'm not channeling anybody.
Right.
But whatever that is that informs whatever you want to call it is writing that stuff.
Yeah.
So in that same way, that's what you love about facilitating, right?
Mm-hmm.
You're not there.
Yeah.
So you hear yourself say something, or you don't, which is usually the case, right? So somebody says, would you say that again? And you just hope somebody else was listening, because you weren't.
Yeah.
Right? Because if you were listening, you couldn't be talking.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Now, sometimes, you know, I am blessed because I'll see that I'm getting ready to say something that I think maybe is best not said.
Yes. Which feels part of it, too. Almost like...
Yes.
Almost like there's... Well, I have no words to describe that. But... Like the same intelligence or whatever that saying the thing is also holding the context of which thing can be heard.
Yes.
Somehow.
Yes.
Or something.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
And so it might be colorful language and appropriate for some places, but maybe not there. So then there's the ability to pause and have a...
Translate.
and then go on.
Yeah.
So it's you know how that happens.
Yeah.
But your point is you can't make it happen, which is
precisely
exactly right.
Yeah.
So what we're learning is what we were talking about a bit ago, is getting out. So there are those poor devils. You know, I think about them just terrified out of their minds because that's nice for you, Jesus.
I can go right there.
Yeah. Yes.
Side. I really can.
Yeah. And so, okay. How?
Right. What do you mean?
Yeah.
Okay. So I'm gonna get there, and then they're gonna ha-ha, and then what am I gonna say? And of course, we're solving a problem we don't have.
That's probably what Jesus really said, and somebody cleverly translated that into something that will be immortal.
Exactly.
Yeah.
Yeah.
But that's right, isn't it? That's true. That's what conditioned mind is constantly doing, is solving problems that we don't have.
Yeah.
Anything other than being here, where everything we need is given to us.
Yeah. Yeah. I can even right now feel it, because it's that... what is the image of it? I don't know, but it's that we're having this conversation and it's so big. It's so big. And it's just this, like, feeling of, like, almost there, almost see it all, almost. And that's the efforting that comes in to thwart
it. That's exactly right. Yes. And so that's the moment when we relax.
You just let go.
Because the... It will be given to you.
Yeah.
But it won't be given to that.
Yes. Mm-hmm. Yeah, that's the.
Which is a if you want to be grateful for how this it's all constructed, mm-hmm. that we can be grateful for.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Well, and back to the very first conversation, is the gratitude for the space and the time. That no one's sitting there going, it's taking you this long. Right? I mean, I had just today, I was, you know, ringing the bell, and just profound gratitude for just, it just takes how long it takes. I mean, and that doesn't even, it's just me, but anyway.
Well, if you have time to read more of the class, how often that comes up. We're not in a hurry here.
Yeah.
Don't take on that pressure.
Yeah.
Don't just, we're just relaxing and we're paying attention.
Mm-hmm.
If we just get here, mm-hmm. relax, pay attention,
mm-hmm.
we'll see it all.
Mm-hmm. You know, just briefly, it's interesting this, I've been talking about, I've been looking at some health stuff, just, you know, not big things, but it's having me look a lot at food, and so it's been such a gift because the content is so concrete and I can see the process. And one of the things I watch is these two completely different relationships with food, that it's been highlighting how the one relationship is the conditioned one, which is that, like, what am I going to get to have?
I don't like that.
I don't like that. I want that. I want to eat a lot of that. I know, ooh, that's yummy. Ooh, you know, whatever. And so what's happened, sort of accidentally, I didn't really set out for it, but through this process is I realized there's a whole different relationship with food. Completely different. Which is just, it nourishes me, and it's delicious, and I don't need nearly as much of it as I thought I did, and like all kinds of things. But the two experiences of it are completely different.
And do you realize that you're describing exactly what we have just been talking about in this other?
Yes.
Yeah. So the body doesn't worry about it. What it needs will be there for it.
Uh-huh. I didn't see that part. That's good.
But that same system
of,
well, but how do I make sure I get what I want?
And what do I have it?
Yeah.
You know, so I'm in this place. What am I going to get? What do I get? That's the sentence.
Mm-hmm.
What do I get?
Mm-hmm.
And what
is it all about me?
And what the person gets? Nothing. Because, of course, in that process of food where it nourishes me, everything tastes better. Everything tastes better. The flavors are exquisite. I don't want more food. Why would I want to feel that way when I have more food in me than I... It's not a good feeling. Mm-hmm. I mean, it's just... Anyway, I could go on and on, but it's such a gift to have a concrete translation of it.
Yes. Mm-hmm. Yeah. And of course, this is one of those... that Rebecca was saying, you know, I see it everywhere, or I'm seeing it in four or five places.
Yeah.
When we catch on to a process like that, we realize, oh my God, that's going on all the time, everywhere. There's parallel tracks. There's being here and present, where everything is fine, the food tastes good, we're relaxed, we're comfortable, we're at ease, we're grateful.
Yeah.
We notice everything is really beautiful.
Mm-hmm.
And then that little track that's running along right next to it of, I don't like that. How come it's not? Why are they doing that? What about, how am I going to, I need to, if I don't figure, if I... We wish that track would just kind of veer into maybe a ditch.
That would be a good place for carminivores. Just let it all
go. Yeah, right. Right. Just get those carminivores and cut that track off. Oh, but it's so exciting to see it, isn't it?
So
see through it. Cameron.
Those two sides where afraid to talk because might say the wrong thing, might expose something weird or whatever, and the other place of where if you're not worried, if you're not being that somebody who's attached to needing something to validate whatever, then it will be provided.
And it will be interesting.
Pardon?
It will be interesting.
Yeah, it will be relevant.
So even
by the moment.
Or even if I say something incredibly stupid, I'll see something about that.
Right. Because I was thinking about the times when, like when you said you were typing and you realized that, you know, you hadn't done that, but it was just really fun. You were appreciating what had been done, but you weren't feeling attached to it. Mm-hmm. And so it was just really...
Because I'm not just saying that. I'm really clear. I don't do it.
Yeah. Well,
I'm lucky that it happens close to me. But that's very different from
right.
doing it.
Right. And the times that that I have had that experience, only I wouldn't have been having it because
that's right.
I was experienced. The time that experience that I
happened close to you
happened close to me, so that I could relate to what you were talking about. Almost every time I've had that experience, there's a thought that I could die right now. I would be fine dying right now because there's nothing lacking here at all. Everything is so perfect. Nothing lacking. And then it's so funny that there's that place, and then there's the track where something's lacking. But in those places, it's so clear there never is anything lacking.
Yes.
And I could live or die, and it wouldn't make a difference.
And that track, it's clear when we're here.
When we're here, yeah.
That track is an illusion.
Yeah,
because it's talking about what's wrong and what's missing and mm-hmm. the past and the future and liking this and disliking that. It's the world of duality. I mean, when we're here, we can see mm-hmm. that it's not real, mm-hmm. that it's all made up in conditioned mind. Mm-hmm. But when we're in it, it seems like reality. It seems true. It doesn't occur to us that none of this is happening.
Mm-hmm. And it seems like the words we use, identification, makes it clear we have merged with it rather than being outside of it, seeing it, and being able to see, well, that's wacky, you know, mm-hmm. that's not true. Mm-hmm. But then, as you say, when we attach to it in some way, then it really does kind of suck us into this reality that isn't reality. Mm-hmm. But it feels like it.
It feels like it, yes. Yeah. So those people like in the email class who are so worried about not saying anything because people are going to hate them and judge them and something bad and awful will happen to them, I mean, they live in that world all the time and none of it's going on. Mm-hmm. It's that place of, you know, probably all day long, almost nobody is aware that they exist.
Say again?
Well, the person is going through their life mm-hmm. paralyzed by what other people think of them.
Mm. Oh, and
probably nobody even knows that they exist.
Yeah.
People, you know, in the same office with them.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Because we're all so self-absorbed, right? I mean, how much time? It's one of those things, if we just stopped and looked at it for a second, you know, how much time do we spend thinking about other people? And yet, you know, they're all thinking about me all the time and judging me and criticizing me and reviewing what I said yesterday in that meeting and laughing at me and calling me a fool. And, you know, only an ego could be that self-absorbed.
That's very interesting, those two separate,
yeah,
whatever they are,
yeah,
and they can be so, they can be experienced fully,
yes, when we're fully here, we're fully here,
uh-huh.
When we're fully there, we're fully there,
right, and it's kind of frustrating, because once you've seen, there is nothing wrong, and everything is provided, to get stuck over there, and you know it's not true, and yet you can. And then I guess that's why we have all these groovy tools that we just
practice with.
Get ourselves
get ourselves unstuck.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. So I sent to somebody today, if they, I don't know what they, but it was the equivalent of like, you know, I want to be centered. And so I said, okay, then you will be. Because we always have what we want. Mm-hmm. Always. Everybody always has what they want all the time. Mm-hmm. So if what you want is unconditional love, if what you want is center, well, first of all, you wouldn't be wanting it if you didn't already have it. And if that's what you really want, then it's yours. Mm-hmm. And that's the turn that we need to make. Mm-hmm. So not, yeah, I want it, you know, if it happens, or I want it when it happens, or, you know, no, I want it. I know it exists, mm-hmm. and I want it. Mm-hmm. I want it.
If ending suffering is more important than anything,
we will end suffering.
Suffering.
But
if not,
we won't.
That's a really great line to say every day, really.
So all these, you know, some of the new groovy tools that we've got going on, the, you know, the recording every hour. Mm-hmm. I mean, it's just changing people's lives because it's hard to get lost in that crapola for very long. was I telling you people about... So I wasn't sure how to make my... Did I tell you about my alarm?
Oh,
no, I'll probably... It no doubt will sneak up on me sometime when I'm around you. But I didn't know how to set my alarm on my phone to go off every hour. Mm-hmm. And I thought it was going to be some big complex, you know, notifications thing. And I'm going to have to... So I Googled it, of course. And it said, well, just, you know, your alarm. Just set an alarm. Like to wake you up. Oh, that's very good. You don't have to just set those at like 5 a.m. or 6 a.m. You could set it at 11:30. So I got it all set up, and then you know, what are you going to what's your alarm going to be, right? Mm-hmm. Well, I've been doing a little fitness activity to Tina Turner. So the song that was there is The Best. People know that?
Yeah.
Simply The Best, but yeah, okay. No, you get your Tina Turner out, girl. So I put it on, and I thought, well, you know, it'll do like a phone, you know, it'll play a couple of bars of something.
No. Yeah.
He'll play the whole song. So, you know, I'm on a conference call or something, and it's 11:30, and here comes Tina. And at first I thought, can everybody hear it? And then I found out, no, they can't. But there's that frantic call, and I get her to... anyway. Yeah, calm down, Tina. This is serious. But it is that, you know, every hour business is that's a good one. And if you add Tina Turner, it's kind of uplifting. At the same time, you know, you come back to center and
dance.
Sure. Yeah. I recommend that one. We can pick your own music.
All right. Well, let's stop it.
Oh, honey.
Do
you have
I just want to say, before I met, I'm having this wonderful, fun experience. And it ties into some of what we're talking about today. But, so I joined this bell choir.
Bell
choir.
Oh!
At our initial church.
Huh.
And practice is Thursday night. So he plays that in the services maybe 4 or 5 times a year. But we practice on Thursday night right before I come here. And it's really fun because I don't read music. So it's really a challenge because, you know, if you sing, you tend to sing a continuous set of notes. But when you play a bell, you just play your notes. So there can be big gaps or you just have to know where the notes are. So.
Wow.
I circle and I color them red and I put left hand, right hand, and do that. And and so tonight I have, I mean, this ties in when we're talking about life. There's such a readiness for us. So we're going to be doing this song at Easter, and it was a little harder than we've done, and I've really been nailing it the last couple times. It was really cool. I thought, I love the challenge.
Uh-huh.
Then he handed out a piece to this. It was like 6 pages long and notes everywhere. And it was just like I could just hear like just laughing and laughing, you know, because I mean this was a little challenge. This thing is like hieroglyphics to me, you know? And so I'm standing there, you know, looking at this and trying to get my notes circled, and then there was this thing in front of my note, and I just said, what is this thing in front of the note? And it turns out it's a natural. Well, I need another bell. So people, you know, somebody went over and brought me a bell, and they're putting all this stuff to me. And, you know, it's so much fun because there was no time to be self-conscious about the fact that I had no idea what to be self-conscious about somebody having, you know, get me a bell and show me this is your bell, can any of you do this? And it's that experience of just being so caught up in the next challenge that life is presenting that you don't even have any time to be there to be self-conscious about.
Uh-huh.
And then literally, life provided the challenge, and then someone provided
the bell.
The explanation of what that thing was, and it was all there.
Uh-huh.
It was all there. And so, you know, somehow I'm going to learn to play this.
Uh-huh.
But it was quite humbling.
Uh-huh.
And my partner at the moment is sick in bed, and so I took her music and I said, this will put her in bed for another 3 days. She sees this, because she has her good looks. But it was little like a little microcosm of how, if we're willing to play,
yes,
life is right there.
Life is a fabulous playmate.
And then provide.
Yeah.
All the little tools.
Mm-hmm.
And I'm sure as I stumble through this and I have all these questions, that it'll all just be given to me.
Yes. And so if we're going to just stay in this theme tonight, the encouragement to be as little children.
Mm-hmm.
Uh-huh. Mm-hmm. Which to me, that's what you describe as such a perfect demonstration of that, you know, the unselfconscious, the unloved.
Mm-hmm.
It's fun. We're mm-hmm. here to play and enjoy, and
mm-hmm.
There we are. Now, what you can do, okay, is take a recording device
mm-hmm.
and record these bells.
Oh yeah.
And then you can put it on your recording device for your hourly. And you won't have to have Tina Turner. You can have your Easter bells.
I have my own, the best.
That's exactly right.
In fact, I actually considered doing that as a way of learning the bells, because one of the ways you learn it is to hear, kind of hear when you come in.
Uh-huh.
And I haven't had to do that yet. That's a great idea. Mm-hmm. For multiple purposes.
Multiple purposes, yeah. Perfect. Thank you.